Right now, believe it or not, it's award season, though the Hollywood writer strike made it hard to tell at times. But now that that strike is over, we can settle into Oscar weekend, placing bets and making Juno-inspired Sunny Delight mixers for Oscar parties. And who better to usher in the countdown to the ceremony Sunday night than the bagger? David Carr writes the seasonal Carpetbagger blog. He was the very first to blog for the old gray lady, and he's joining us today from the studios of NPR West. Good to have you with the program.
Oh, a pleasure to be with you, Lynn.
And we want to hear from our listeners as well. Release your pent-up award energy. What movies and actors are you hoping to win the gold? What are you looking forward to? John Stewart, our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org, and you can comment on our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation, where you will also find a link to the Carpetbagger blog on our blog roll. Well, this has been a very strange award season, has it not?
Yeah, it's weird to finally be out here. I normally work this story from the East Coast, and I get to L.A. expecting all sorts of excitement and froth. And I have to tell you, this year, it isn't really happening. You know, you have America involved in a shooting war, the most dynamic political election probably in a half a century, and then even in Los Angeles, you have a writer's strike, and it doesn't really feel like party time, to be honest. Vanity Fair canceled their after party, and people's attention is turning just now to the Oscars.
Yeah, and so that's even kind of reflected, isn't it, in some of the nominees this year? There's a sort of, people are writing about how there's a kind of dark side to the Oscars this year, just in terms of the nominees even.
As somebody who covers this stuff more than I would like to admit, there's a significant disconnect between the sort of energy crisis around the Oscars and the movies themselves, which, as you point out, pretty dark bunch other than Juno, which has got a lot of uplift to it and a lot of people went to see. But you can't argue that the movies aren't that great this year. These are five exquisite films.
Let's go over the films. Why don't we go over, just in case not everybody's paying complete attention to the Oscars. Let's
perish the thought.
Let's say, what are the five nominees for Best Motion Picture of the Year?
We have No Country for Old Men, which is the Coen brothers. It's a murder mystery, a chase movie. It's got the scariest villain we've seen in movies in years and is the odds-on favorite to win. There Will Be Blood, Paul Thomas Anderson's a depiction of Daniel Plainview, which is really kind of a representation of early American capitalism. And starring Daniel Day-Lewis, will probably win Best Actor. Michael Clayton, starring George Clooney, about a lawyer who stumbles his way to a new ethical realization. More of a classic Hollywood film, much loved. Juno, which, you know, made it past $100 million, but an adolescent teen who...
The people's favorite, I think.
Yeah, the people's choice all the way. They love that Ellen Page. And then Atonement, which is a classic Oscar movie. Period dramas starring James McAvoy and Keira Knightley. Lots of great sets, wonderful costumes, and great music.
Now, that's why I was a little surprised when you said No Country for Old Men is probably going to win, because Atonement does seem like the Oscar movie of this group, it seems to me. And No Country for Old Men, that's one that I did see, pretty violent. And as you said, a scary guy right at the center of it.
Yeah, it's, I think USA Today did a story today about the sort of rise of the anti-hero this year. And boy, there's plenty of them to go around. In Michael Clayton, you have Tilda Swinton playing a corporate executive who's just, at bottom, a very banal form of evil. There Will Be Blood. You have a capitalist who is self-seeking in a way we Americans don't like to think of ourselves. And in No Country, this guy is as much kind of El Diablo as he is human being. He just comes and goes, and he's got these weird this weird apparatus that he attacks people with. It's kind of a monster movie, yeah, in a way.
Yeah. What's fascinating about it, and of course, Javier Bardem has been nominated and is the likely...
he I will think, win. Yeah. Mark him down in your pool with a double X.
He's got no competition?
Well, he's got plenty. There are superior roles. There's, you know, you have Tom Wilkinson, who is also in Michael Clayton, who did a wonderful job. he's just the guy this year that came on screen and you will never, ever forget him. Maybe it's the haircut. Maybe it's the voice. I mean, other people did great work. Hal Holbrook and Into the Wild. Philip Seymour Hoffman, a multiple Oscar nominee, this time for Charlie Wilson's War. And Casey Affleck, who we haven't seen a lot, coming in for the assassination of Jesse James. None of them have a shot.
Yeah, I thought Hal Holbrook, maybe just for sentimental reasons, you know.
That would be Ruby Dee, Lynn.
Oh,
that
okay.
would be Ruby Dee over in the supporting category.
Okay.
She's an American Gangster, did a wonderful job in a supporting role, and is a sentimental favorite for a lot of folks. She's had a great career. Probably the favorite is Cate Blanchett for her inhabitation of Bob Dylan and I'm Not There. Or Amy Ryan, who was in Gone Baby Gone, Ben Affleck's directorial debut. She played a crack-addled mother to amazing emotional effect.
Yeah, and I didn't see Cate Blanchett and I'm Not There, but...
You and a lot of other people, Lynn. Sorry about that, but a lot of people... That's the problem with some of these movies. If you look at the Best Actress category, Julie Christie is nominated for Away From Her, which is about a woman who's kind of kidnapped from within by Alzheimer's. Extraordinary performance.
Yeah.
Wonderful movie. Almost no one saw it.
Yeah. So do you think she... I saw that film and I thought her performance was just amazing, actually, in that film. And I think she's kind of another sentimental favorite. But is she... Do you think she's going to get it or does she have some competition for...
You've got me at a very tender moment because I had to... make my picks for the newspaper for tomorrow morning. And it's not like the web. I've been doing a lot of blogging. You can't change anything. And it came, I was looking at her, and then I was looking at Marianne Cotillard, who is who stars in a biopic about Edith Piaf called La Vie en Rose, gave a remarkable performance. And I had Julie Christie and then was sort of looking at Ellen Page. And in the end, I pulled the lever for Marianne Cotillard.
Did you really?
But don't follow my... I talked to a lot of Academy Award voters, and the older ones, when I asked them about Ellen Page, they said, Ellen who? And a lot of them hadn't seen Away From Her. And in Marianne Cotillard, you have a young ingenue who's been everywhere, campaigning every which way, is beautiful, lovely, demure, and did an extraordinary job in the movie she was in.
All right. I'm going to remember this. Now we're going to take a call here. We're going to go to Kathy. She's in Martinez, California. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I have three quick questions.
Okay.
Even though Ethan Promises is nominated for Best Picture, David Cronenberg's never got a director nomination. Why is that? And why do you think Viggo shouldn't get it? He's never put in a mediocre performance, let alone a bad one. And do you think his politics affect that?
Okay, wow. Have you got that all down?
Listen.
Okay, thanks
yeah.
very
Maybe,
much.
Unless I have a follow-up.
Okay.
The Eastern Promises is an amazing movie about a nurse in London who comes across a child and gets tangled up with Russian mafia, including a gangster played by Viggo Mortensen, as your caller points out, to amazing, amazing effect. It did not, in fact, get nominated for Best Picture, but Viggo is up for Best Actor. I think part of what happened is it came out much earlier in the year. People tended to forget about it, and it was a tough, tough year. There were so many great movies that not only got hurt in the award season, but also at the box office because everybody releases into the end of the year, and there's this huge clutter, and the moviegoer doesn't know which way to look, let alone the Academy Award viewer. I don't think the fact that Viggo has been fairly outspoken on political issues is hurting him. He is much loved in this town. He's a gracious, smart man, takes himself with a grain of salt. I think he speaks three languages and is handsome beside. I personally resent him a lot.
We're talking about the Oscars with the carpetbagger of the New York Times, David Carr. Give us a call. The number is 800-989-8255, and we're going to go to Jeffrey in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hi, Jeffrey.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead.
The reason I was calling was I was pleasantly surprised when I saw Sweeney Todd. I thought it was going to just be a blood and gore movie, and I thought they handled it very, very well, made the bloody aspect very theatrical, and you could really emote with the characters. Wondering why it didn't get more nods.
I think part of what happened, how old are you?
I'm 50.
See, now you're blowing my theory. I'm also older than dirt. I'm 51. And I think that older members of the Academy, if you remember how it opened with that all that blood flowing toward you, I talked to one older Academy member who said, "Oi, I thought I should have worn a butcher apron to it." What you saw as arty and under-controlled, other people saw as over the top. It was an odd combination of kind of a postmodern sensibility arrayed over a very ancient landscape. And I'm with you in terms of the ambitions of the film and its excellence of execution. It just was a tough year. And when you already had a couple of oddballs in the mix and No Country and There Will Be Blood, it's like we already kind of filled that slot.
Well, I never dreamed that I would pay to see a duet in a barber chair a second time. It's just gorgeous.
Okay.
You and me both, and the idea of Johnny Depp singing, I went in there, I brought some earplugs just in case, and I thought he did a really good job.
Outstanding.
All right, thanks so much for your call, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
And let me remind everybody that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Johnny Depp, I have to say, he is nominated for Best Actor in a Leading Role, but he's not going to get it either, right?
I guess not, mostly because the movie doesn't have a lot of support. It's nothing against Johnny Depp, who the industry sees as one of their leading lights, and they'd love to have him up at the podium. It's good for business. Maybe not for this movie, though.
All right, let's take another call. We'll go to Megan. She's calling from New Buffalo. Hi, Megan.
Hi, good afternoon. When I went to college back in the 80s, I took a class on the history of movies, and we were told then that when America's involved in an extended war like we are now, that the movies tend to either reflect the violence, like the violence of war, or they go the other way with lots of fantasies and, you know, flighty movies like that. Is that happening now?
Well, 2 years ago we had five small movies, Capote and... that were really, really dark. Last year, not so much, although The Departed, which one ended up with, I don't know, five or six people ended up dead and kicked to the curb. I think it is a pretty serious year. I think it's a year of anti-heroes. And a lot of this evil is sort of creeping in from an unseen place and sort of, I don't want to get too metaphorical about it, but it sort of etches the helplessness of the people involved. It's not a great time for heroes, at least in the movie house. Out on the political landscape, I think there's a significant appetite for it. So who knows what we'll see next year in terms of movies.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Megan.
Thank you.
I have to tell you, David, I have an email here. It's a little off topic, but it says, speak for yourself. And here's what it says. It says, only by your twisted Hollywood standards is 50 older than dirt.
Yeah, I guess so. And when I'm 70, I'll be saying it's the new 50. It's just,
I know there were a lot of people out there probably thinking the same thing, so I had to read that email.
On the run up to the Oscar season, you have to realize you're surrounded by all these in Los Angeles, all these little 20 and 25 year and racing around here and there, and it's tough not to feel like an old timer.
A little demoralizing, huh?
Well, let's just say it adds context to time's winged feet.
Okay. Let's go to Chris. Chris is calling from Florida. Hi, Chris.
Hi. My question and comment is, back when the nominations were made, when they first came out, I was listening to an entertainment show, and the commentator was surprised that Denzel Washington wasn't nominated for American Gangster, which I thought was a great performance. And the commentator made the comment, well, he already has enough awards. And I was wondering, you know, what plays into that? And is it politics or what went into him not getting a nod?
I was talking to Touré last night, who is out here for BET and is covering I bumped into him at a 7-Eleven, oddly enough, and he's covering Denzel Washington is getting a tribute out here. And both of us were sort of amazed that between American Gangster and Great Debaters, that Denzel Washington, who, by the way, does more bank than in terms of box office than almost any other movie star, couldn't sneak in. I think it's a little weird. There may have been a mistake in the execution of the marketing of American Gangster, in that you thought it was as much sort of Russell Crowe's movie as it was his. Is Denzel's movie all the way, and it was sort of defined Academy performance in terms of having a good sort of period lilt to it, having a great range of performance. And I think you and I are among many people disappointed that Denzel Washington won't be in the mix this year.
All right, we're going to quickly try and get one more call in here from Al in Illinois. Hi, Al.
Hi. I'm just calling to... I'm here from Northern Illinois University, which, as the nation now knows, had a horrible tragedy here. A friend of mine was shot at, was not hurt. And because of that, I think No Country for Old Men really, I think, deserves the nod, because it displays violence in, you know, the kind of horrifying way it is. You know, we just had to deal with a shooter that seemed to come out of nowhere and do a lot of destruction and tragedy. And I think that movie has a character that embodies a thing that a lot of us are afraid of now.
Al, that is a very thoughtful comment, and I'm just going to ask Dave to respond to it quickly, because we're almost out of time, but thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Al, I'm so sorry for, you know, the fear that has been sown in your daily life and the life of the other. I have two kids in college. One of the things that's weird is Hollywood hangs behind the culture in terms of production 2 years. But it always seems to come up with the movie that resonates with the time. It's odd how that works out.
Dave Carr, thanks so much for joining us. Dave Carr is an arts and culture reporter for the New York Times, also known as the Carpetbagger. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.